Welcome back to Fourth and Wine, where football meets a little bit of flavor. I am your host, Sasha, and for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to sip some wine, and we are going to talk about Eagles football, and we are going to talk about week 5. So today, we will be sipping on a red blend that I got locally, and we are going to recap Week 5, Eagles versus the Broncos at home. So keep listening. You are checking out Fourth and Wine. All right, so this week, we trying the red wine again. We are going to try this red blend. It comes from Mural City Cellars. This red blend, it says that it is Bordeaux inspired, though the grapes were harvested in 2023. A lot of what this winery brings, let me get myself situated. A lot of what this winery brings is a lot of local grape varieties, and they support a lot of like local businesses and the community. So this is a pretty cool wine. The wine bottle has art on the front that was created by Tim McFarlane. But this Bordeaux inspired red blend, let me show you. So if you watch this, you could see. But anyway, it is a Bordeaux-inspired red blend. It has a mix of Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Chamberson, all red grape varieties mixed together in one, and it was aged in French oak. So usually, and if you listen, you already know what I'm about to say. So anytime you age things in wooden barrels, oak, things like that, you tend to get something that's a little spicier, a little more tobacco-y. You get hints of vanilla. So let's take this. Now, my first smell of it is that it's super grapey, which isn't a good way to describe a wine, but it's giving like Welch's grape juice. I do smell a hint of spice. I'll say I smell a hint of spice, a little bit of vanilla, but it's not very strong. I've also had it for a little while now. I had to get adjusted. I've also had it for a little while now, so maybe it's lost its flavor. I haven't had it that long, maybe just a couple of months. But this bottle, I actually don't really know how much it costs because I was a part of the wine club. So I got 3 altogether for like $80. So I'd say maybe on average, it's between $20 and $30, but you could pick it up at Mural City. Red blends are a great way to introduce yourself to red wine if you aren't typically interested in red wine, but this is a great way to start. So I said I was going to, I decided to pick a red blend because if you've listened to my podcast over the last few weeks, I've been just talking about how everything just isn't one or the other. And it's a mixture of things with this Eagles team. I can't sit here and point my finger and say, this is the problem, which might be a good thing, but I think it is a combination of things. A lot of things have to come and work together and be cohesive for you to win. And that's what a red blend is. A bunch of great varieties together to create magic. Okay? So let's get into this game because this game needed more blending, okay? We needed to bring a few more pieces together to ensure this win. So we lost. Eagles lost. We'll start off there. But I don't don't know if I'm like upset that we lost. It is disappointing to lose. But we're 4-1. And this was our first loss in 280 days. So I guess how upset can you be? I do think there are some things that we can learn from this. But I think we don't have time. But I think this was a good time to have the loss. I'd rather it be now, us figure out some things now, than later on down the line. So the score was 21-17, and there were some really big plays and good moments within the loss. So, you know, we had Dallas Goedert had the touchdown for 2 yards, and that really got some things going. That really brought the momentum. And then also, after the half, the big momentum shift that I thought was really going to bring it was the touchdown to Saquon Barkley for 47 yards. Saquon was out there looking like a wide receiver. And I, you know, it shocks me because sometimes Saquon isn't great with catching the ball. And I say sometimes, I can think of one time in particular, which I'm sure he thinks about, but that was the year we won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, last year against the Falcons, we needed Saquon to make the catch, and we were right there at the goal line, and he didn't catch the ball. We lost the game to the Falcons, which is like, in hindsight, the Falcons, who, what, when, why, who cares? But that was, you know, I was shocked to see Saquon come through like that. And so it was a great thing to watch because I really thought it was going to cause a shift and bring some real momentum to the game. But unfortunately, that was the last of it for the Eagles, okay? Our offense, they came out the gate hot, though. They came out hot. They came out passing the ball. So they came out throughout the game. They had 38 passing attempts for 302 yards. And Devontae Smith had his first game this season with over 100 yards. So if that was in your parlay, shout out to you. But it is obvious that this team can pass the ball. It's just a matter of the consistency and when and where it happens. We'll get more into that later, but defense played well. Za'Darius Smith racked up our only sack of the game. Zach Bond with 12 tackles. And Jalen Carter, while I don't think he had the most outstanding game, I do give kudos because I know he was fighting through a shoulder injury. And he played a significant number of snaps. Typically, Jalen Carter is double teamed, and usually over 65% of the time, they are double teaming Jalen Carter. But this game, the Broncos decided to take a different approach and double team Jordan Davis. And I think that was smart on the coaching staff and on their end to realize, okay, Jalen Carter's injured. Let's put these eggs in another basket. So Jordan Davis got double teamed up. And Jalen Carter wasn't as effective as I thought he usually would be if it's just him and a man, you know? But let's give a breakdown to the game. So our defense balled out. They kept themselves in the game. They kept us in the game. It's unfortunate, though, because they were out there a significant amount of time, especially in the second half, because the Eagles just could not get anything going. The last time the Eagles scored was that Saquon Barkley touchdown. And we allowed 18 points in the fourth quarter. But it's bound to happen when your time of possession is 25 minutes compared to the Broncos, whose time of possession was 34 minutes. There were moments in the second half where we were going three and out. We had to get something going, and it never happened. So offense just couldn't, they couldn't get moving. And I'm a touch on this. I think it part of the reason is because our offensive line is banged up. They are banged up. The Eagles are known to have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And they are injured. Landon Dickerson left the game in the first quarter with an ankle injury. He's been pushing through injury after injury throughout the first 5 weeks of the season. First, he had the knee surgery during the offseason. Then he had like a back issue in week one and week two. So he has yet to come out here and play 100%. Toth came in and replaced him. And I say this with love in my heart, but the Eagles' offensive line falls off significantly when our starters aren't in. Lane Johnson finally played a full game this week after stingers and other injuries and soreness and whatever else. And then there are times where this offensive line is in position but not executing. Now, I don't know, everybody is on Instagram. I don't know if y'all follow Jason Avant, former wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he broke down a play from week four that I thought was very interesting to see. So I watched him talk about the play, and he pretty much is talking about how there is poor execution. So they're in 11 personnel, which means there's one running back, one tight end, and an I formation, which is when your running back lines up right behind your quarterback, simply put. And Tyler Steen is supposed to be blocking and handling the nose tackle. And this is going to be a run play to Saquon Barkley. Usually when they line up in I formation, it is a run play. But Tyler Steen is supposed to be guarding the Bucs' nose tackle. And unfortunately, it was poorly executed. He blows the play up because he cannot hold this nose tackle. His body gets out of position and he opens the door for the nose tackle to make his way and blow up the play and tackle Saquon. If you haven't watched it, you should see it. But those are like the small things that if you really slow down some of the film, you rewatch a few things, it'll show you how our offensive line has been struggling. And it'll tell you why we can't run the ball effectively. Now, everyone said that this year, teams would have an answer for Saquon. And I'm sure to some extent they do, but Saquon is a phenomenal player. So the fact that he's fallen off so much from last season to this season is not a Saquon production issue. It is an execution issue. We ran the ball in week five against the Broncos just this week 11 times compared to passing for 38 times. That is so far out of balance and so far out of what we normally do. Now, everyone wants to say, oh, we need to pass. We need to pass the passing game, passing game. Yes, but we have been breaking it up pretty evenly. We've been passing about as much as we've been running the ball over the first 4 weeks of this season. However, I do understand that the passing game could be better. But to drop off significantly when your identity as the Eagles team is running the ball, whether that's with Saquon or whether that's with Jalen Hurts, you can't just switch up like that. Also, you can't switch up like that when your line is banged up. And it was evident that the Eagles went back and said, yeah, yep, our line is pretty banged up. And we need to get more in a rhythm with passing the ball anyway. So let's go for it. And they did. And the first half, it looked promising. But if you can't run the ball, you are one-dimensional. You are one-dimensional. Now, there were a lot of moments this week where I wish we could get those moments back. And I'm sure the players do as well. For example, Jalen Hurts taking a sack on 1st and 10 with a minute to go and no timeouts. Bro, you can't take a sack there. We have no timeouts. That was poor thinking, poor management. I don't know what that was. Another one was Zach Bond with the penalty late in the fourth. It was an unnecessary roughness penalty on 3rd and 2. Andrew Mukuba had made the tackle of RJ Harvey. The stop already happened. Unfortunately, Zach Bond, I'm sure it is hard to stop. Once you move in, it is hard to stop. I get it. I get that you want to put forth 100% effort every single time. I get that that might have been, you know, your assignment and what you had to do. But in that moment, the unnecessary roughness penalty, it sucked some of the momentum out. Also, there were so many other crucial moments where we got penalties. I think A.J. Brown had a false start. I think Devontae had a false start. Saquon, like they weren't getting set. It's if they go into motion, you got to get set before the ball snaps. And I think the refs were being very particular, and I'm going to say that because I'm an Eagles fan. But also, those small details like that, shooting yourself in the foot, those are self-inflicted wounds. And another play I wish we could get back, and I'm sure everyone is talking about this. A.J. Brown was asked about it after the game. But the deep ball to A.J. Brown came up incomplete. Could have been a touchdown because he beat, I believe, Patrick Surtain. Could have been a touchdown. I'll say this. A.J. Brown, he was not on the same page as Jalen. He was not on the same page as Jalen. However, AJ, finish your route. Finish the route. You never know. He says it. You never know when you're going to get an opportunity. So when you get the opportunity, you seize it and you do what you need to do. And with this offense being very hot, very cold, very here, very there, you didn't seize that opportunity. I'm sure that, and not that hit this one particular play is the reason we lost the game, but that would have given the game a shift and that would have given the momentum we needed to put up a fight, to win. But I can see both ends of this situation, and I'm not sure what happened, and people are going to make it a thing, but Jalen Hurts takes a long time to get rid of the ball. Sometimes I think because of this, players don't know what's going on. They like, do we still got it? Is it out? Where is it? He's not quick with getting rid of the ball, and he has an offensive line that has been holding for him, giving him time. He was sitting in a pocket on Sunday. So they do give him time. But also, Jalen, did you communicate like with him before you ran a play? I don't know. I'm speculating all this. Jalen, did you communicate with AJ? Like, bro, just go. Run. Right up the middle. Go. And I'm a toss it to you. What they call it a go route, right? Go. Did Jalen communicate that to AJ Brown beforehand? I don't know. He should have. Also, AJ, week five was the opportunity. This was the opportunity. I don't know what this coaching staff will do going forward, but this was the opportunity. They came out there. They said the offensive line is banged up. We need to get AJ going because AJ needs to be involved in these wins. And that is true as day. But who's to say they're not going to look at this game and be like, well, we passed and it didn't work in our favor. Maybe. Maybe let's get Saquon more involved once the O-line healthy again. I don't know. They can't really run the ball that effectively. So I don't know what they're going to do. But this game was the opportunity. And AJ Brown probably going to look back at this and be like, yep, there were some things I could have done a lot better. And finishing that route was one of them. It looks like he stopped. Like he didn't know if the ball was coming. He was unsure. Now, folks are going to talk about this relationship between AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts all day long. And something did happen. I don't know what, but they probably aren't as close as they once were. And that's what happens when you work with your friends, when you live with your friends. Life will tell you that. But I'm not going to worry about their relationship because I can only speculate on what that is and what that looks like. Maybe Hard Knocks will give me a look into it. Who knows? But I can only speculate what that looks like. And quite frankly, I don't care. I do not care. And I'm sure like they are on the same page. Who cares? Who cares if you guys are best buds? I've worked with people I don't get along with. I've worked with people I've had poor communication with. But at the end of the day, you just get it done. You just get it done. Now, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Now, the Eagles are clearly a great football team. Should there be more consistency? Sure, noted. But I'm going to look at this as a glass half full. The offensive line is pretty banged up. So once they get 100% and get back, we can get back to running the ball more effectively. We can get back to passing more effectively. I think, and no one has mentioned this, while not a stellar, I'm not going to say he is shut down corner and not a stellar performance, but I think Kelee Ringo has the opportunity right here on a silver platter in front of him. And I think he should be a part of the rotation with Adoree Jackson. I think it's there for him. I don't know why him, since his first year, it's just like, just give him the opportunity, give him more snaps, give him more time, give him more time. I don't know what's going on in camp or in practice, but I think if he's given more time, there will surely be more growth. Also, I'm looking at it as half full because, look, we can throw the ball. We can. I knew this. I don't get why no one else knows this. Like, we've seen them do it. But they do what they think is necessary to win. They don't do things just so the rest of the world could be like, oh, yes, they are a great passing team. They pass for the most yards and loss. Like, who cares? People want to win. Coaching wasn't the best in the last quarter of this game, but I think coaching has been done very well, and that's in all three phases with, let me not say all three. Kevin Petullo the first couple weeks, I don't know. It just gets really up and down, and I can't put my finger quite on that yet. I'll give him a few more weeks to show me something. He's been with the team long enough to understand that culture and understand how things flow and how things work. So I'm going to give him some more time, but special teams has been coaching well, not perfect, but well. Defense, obviously, Vic Fangio has that locker room. So it's a short week. It is a short week. And am I confident going into Thursday night? I am. Even with the injuries, our defense just will have to get to the quarterback. We've got to do that. It's a short week, but I'm confident because we playing the Giants. And if we go to MetLife and embarrass ourselves, we deserve to lose. We deserve to lose. But I think our team, even banged up, should be able to handle the Giants. Landon might be able to rest this week, get a little extra time in, because then he'll have off of essentially like a mini bye, so he can have time to heal, rest, recuperate. But I'm not confident Landon's going to want to sit out anytime at all. That offensive line, banged up or not, they show up every single time. Every single time. But going into this game Thursday, it's a very short week, so I had to get this out immediately. I think we could win this game this week. I think it might be tough with the injuries. I think it will be tough with the injuries. But Malik Nabers, wish him a healthy recovery. He will not be playing. He is done. So I don't see why we can't make something shape. And I think we need to come out hot the same way we just did against the Broncos. But we need to execute. We need to execute. But go ahead and pick yourself up a little red blend. You can get this one at Miro City, or you can go anywhere you want and get a red blend. Miro City's is pretty good. Hopefully the Eagles learn to blend on offense a little bit better. Blend communication between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. Blend the passing and the run game. And we a match made in heaven. But enjoy your week. I will be back later on this week. Probably going to be doing two episodes this week since we play the Giants on Thursday night. And be on the lookout for Sasha's Quick Slants this week. So follow me on Instagram at Fourth. That's the number four. Fourth in Wine. And make sure you follow me at For the Birds Sports. That's spelled out all the way. F-O-R. For the Birds Sports on Instagram. Follow me also on TikTok at For the Birds Sports. The number four. Keep tuning in. Tell a friend to tell a friend. But thank you for coming back, sipping with me, talking birds. Until next time, peace.